From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. At a time when emergency room beds are in high demand, about a fifth of those beds in Massachusetts are occupied, sometimes for weeks, by psychiatric patients, most of whom are just being kept there until an appropriate inpatient bed opens up. GBH Radio's Craig LaMolt has been looking into this and joins us now. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Arun.
So, Craig, you spoke with someone whose daughter had this experience, right?
Yeah, I talked with the mother of a 16-year-old girl who went to the ER six times over the course of a year because of suicidal ideation and because of two suicide attempts. The last visit, her daughter was in the ER for 2 weeks before an appropriate inpatient behavioral health bed opened up. The mother said, for a kid who was already in distress, being in a crowded and chaotic ER full of sick and injured patients was especially troubling.
She did not want to stay there. She would beg me to take her home. It was awful. And it's just, it's heartbreaking because you don't want your child to suffer any more than she already has. But you know, as a parent, that you have, we needed help. We knew if she came back, I was just afraid that she'd end up dying.
The good news is, after those 2 weeks, she did get into an inpatient facility. And after a year of incorrect diagnoses and medication that just wasn't working for her, she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And her mom says the medication she now has been prescribed is really helping, and she's doing great now.
Well, that's a great outcome, but it sounds like staying in the emergency room for 2 weeks didn't really help. How many patients like her are like that, are stuck in emergency rooms, and for how long?
Well, the Massachusetts Health and Hospital Association has been doing a survey of hospitals on this, and in the most recent one, which is as of last Tuesday, there were 559 behavioral health patients who were being boarded in the emergency departments or medical surgical units of 50 reporting hospitals. That's nearly a fifth of all the staffed ER and med-surg beds in those 50 hospitals. And the number hasn't dipped below 500 patients in the 15 weeks that the association has been tracking this data. The State Department of Mental Health is alerted when a behavioral health patient has been in the ER for more than 2.5 days. And in the most recent state data available, which is from August, the average length of an ER stay for those patients was more than 5 days. And there are fewer facilities available for kids, so their stays tend to be even longer. For the children who the state tracked because they were in the ER longer than 2.5 days, the average length of stay was closer to a week.
This must be a terrible strain for the hospitals, both because they need those beds, and also it must be hard for them to take care of those patients.
Yeah, absolutely. I spoke with Dr. Suzanne Bird about this. She's a psychiatrist at Massachusetts General Hospital who leads the hospital's acute psychiatry service, which serves patients in the emergency department.
It's a constant source of tremendous frustration and demoralization and helplessness. People feel overwhelmed by the constant lack of capacity, the lengthy stays, the inability to provide the care that we know these patients need. We're doing our best, but we know it's not where they really need to be.
Last spring, MGH tried to adapt to the influx of patients by opening a calmer area specifically for behavioral health patients, away from the chaos of the rest of the ER. And at the time, they thought 20 beds would be enough, but the demand has recently gone as high as 50 patients.
Wow, Craig, I mean, it's strange because we usually think about this area having such great and abundant health care. Why is this happening?
Well, you know, it's not actually a new problem. This was a challenge before the pandemic. But, you know, just like a lot of other issues that we've been talking about, it's been exacerbated by this current situation. The root of the problem is there just aren't enough inpatient psychiatric beds available for the patients who need them. And that's largely because there aren't enough staff for those inpatient beds. In the Mass General Brigham system, for example, they got 600 beds across their hospital system for inpatient psychiatric treatment. But right now, more than 100 of them are unusable because of a lack of staff. And that's both because either the staff are out due to infection or because there's just a general workforce shortage in this field. You know, just like we've been talking about in many other healthcare fields, many behavioral health staff have burned out over the course of the pandemic and have just chosen to leave the field. And that's contributing to this.
Is there anything being done to address this problem?
Yeah, first of all, the state provided financial incentives to help add an additional 248 psychiatric beds over the last year. But again, a lot of those beds can't be used because of the staffing shortages. To address those shortages, the Baker administration announced a plan to use $31 million in federal relief funds to help recruit new behavioral health staff, and also $122 million to repay student loans for those who are training to enter the field. Also, there's legislation that's been reintroduced, which would address the issue in several ways. The bill would require all hospital emergency departments to have a qualified behavioral health clinician available around the clock. It would also direct the state to create a statewide online portal that would help emergency departments match patients with currently available and appropriate beds. That project's actually already started using federal ARPA funding. The bill was authored by State Senator Julian Sear, and it passed the Senate for a second time in November. And Sear told me he thinks even though it didn't pass the House last time, it should get through this time.
I think what's changed is that all of us, I think, have a newfound appreciation that mental health care, you know, is absolutely essential. That access to mental health care when people need it is absolutely an essential part of what people need to lead healthy, fulfilling lives.
But he acknowledged these are long-term issues that aren't easy to solve overnight. In the meantime, many patients who are really in need of care for urgent behavioral health issues are going to continue to be stuck in the ER for a while before they can get the help they need.
Craig, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Arun.
That's GBH's Craig LaMole. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Massachusetts Secretary of State Bill Galvin is running for his eighth term in office. Galvin says his years of experience overseeing elections are what Massachusetts needs right now as restrictive voting laws are passed around the country.
Obviously, if we were not in such a threatened situation, if the challenges of election politics as it's being cast around the country weren't as obvious as they are, that might be a different story. But I believe that I am most qualified to continue this work.
Galvin also highlighted his history of modernizing record systems and improving voting laws. So far, the only other Democratic candidate is Boston NAACP branch president Tanisha Sullivan. In other news, local hospital administrators are expressing concern about workforce issues. Dr. Eric Dixon, president and CEO of UMass Memorial Health, says under normal conditions, hospitals would ramp up hiring and extend hours to deal with staff shortages. But there is no longer an available workforce to do that. Dixon says people are burned out and leaving healthcare. He says significant investments need to be made for job training.
Part of why we were so full prior to this surge of COVID was trying to make up for the number of patients that we had to postpone and reschedule. And so this is the third time we've kicked the can down the road, and each time it gets worse.
Dixon says another option is to make it easier to access foreign-trained doctors and nurses. Meanwhile, the Massachusetts Nurses Association is calling for Governor Charlie Baker to declare a state of emergency amid the continued Omicron surge. The nurses want stricter visitor policies at hospitals and for staff interacting with patients to be supplied with new single-use N95 masks upon request. MNA President Katie Murphy says the best way to show appreciation to healthcare workers is to support their needs.
That when you've worked for 12 hours and maybe had a cup of coffee for lunch, the management is going to come to you and say, okay, you got to stay another 4 hours because we don't have the staff. After 2 years of that, that's burning people out.
The MNA is calling for the state of emergency to be in place through the end of March. And finally, state officials are urging anyone considering going out onto ponds and lakes to check the ice conditions first. Jim Legacy, with the State Division of Fisheries and Wildlife, says there are no central resources that can tell you if it's okay to venture out.
You can't actually find a source that's going to say definitively whether this pond or this lake in this town is safe. So you've got to be your own advocate for safety. So you need to know how to do that yourself.
Legacy recommends using a chisel to drill through the ice close to shore to measure the depth. 4-inch ice is considered generally safe if the ice is black or blue. If the ice is white with snow mixed in, it needs to be 5 or 6 inches to be safe. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. You like podcasts. here's one more you might enjoy. From the producers of GBH's Antiques Roadshow, Detours is a podcast about what happens to all those antiques after the cameras leave town. Join Adam Monahan, longtime producer of Roadshow, for stories of sales, fakes, and even federal crimes. Subscribe to Detours wherever you get your podcasts.